Numbers, the 13th chapter, and we'll read a couple verses starting, or several verses, starting with verse 31. The men have returned now, and I use the term men loosely, very loosely. They have returned, and they're trying to talk the people into their way of thinking. Verse 31 says, but the men, and Caleb had just tried to say the right thing, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. I hear those excuses all the time. You know, all your habits are stronger than you are. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. See, they brought up the evil report, and what they really said is, that land, that thing eats us up. And God said, you're supposed to go over there and you take of the fruit of the land. And then they said that the men, that all the people that they saw in there are men of great stature. In other words, very respectable, very awesome individuals. And what you're going to learn in this evil report, as we relate it to ourselves, this is really when you are arguing with yourself. The Caleb and the Joshua in you that wants to go into rest and quit that thing. And then you come back and you make an evil report. And you tell yourself and anybody else that will listen how much stronger than you your habits are. How much stronger than you they are, and that's the excuse that you use to continue them. Verse 32, they continue their evil report and says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. In other words, what God is saying here, however you see yourself is the way other people are going to see you. However you see the Lord and the power that he's given you. Remember, these men were told specifically that God gave them the land. And it didn't take a whole lot of faith, I wouldn't think, after having seen the 10 plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, and all the other things that they saw. It didn't take a whole lot of faith. They saw a whole lot more than you and I have. But look, they still said, we're as grasshoppers in our sight. That's the evil report. Verse four, chapter 14, look how the evil report affects you and everybody around you. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Isn't that amazing? You make the evil report. You're the one that decides it can't be done. And then who do you get mad at? The preacher, of course. And all he told you is you could. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. They just pronounced a death sentence on themselves, and you'll learn about that a little later. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Now I'm going to tell you right then and there, they signed their death warrant. See, as long as you're disagreeing with the preacher that you can't go into rest, you got a chance. You can wander in the wilderness and you still got grace. But the minute you make the decision, forget it, I'm going back where I came from. From here on in, God is going to speak a death sentence on those people, and their carcasses are going to die in the wilderness. I have no problem when people say, I can't do that. Even though that is an evil report. But the minute you decide to go back where you came from, you're dead. It's all over for you. I want you to understand what this evil report does and how it works in your life. Because in the final analysis, you're the only one that can make the decision as to whether you're going to go into rest or whether you're going to die in the wilderness. But I'll tell you one thing, you don't have the option to go back to Egypt. They didn't, and neither do we. Let's find out in verse 31 of chapter 13 how this evil report destroys the lives of otherwise good Christians. And it's not going to affect your blessings in heaven. It's not even going to affect the fact that you're going to heaven. It just means you're going to go before your time, that's all. And if that doesn't bother you, it certainly does not bother me. Verse 31 says, "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." See, this evil report that they're making was really about them. The evil report that you make is really about yourself. When you make these excuses and you say, this is stronger than me, and I don't understand this, and I can't help that, I'm going to prove to you that you're lying. The word stronger has several definitions, and we're going to go through all of them. Number one, it means bold. It means impudent and obstinate, but it also means to be constant, to encourage oneself, to withstand, and to seize. In other words, they were talking about a side of themselves. There's a side of you that's stronger than the other side. Now, which side is stronger is entirely up to you, but both of them are not of equal strength. Now, here's what happens. I'm going to prove to you when you speak and make excuses, they're not going to fly with God. The first thing that an individual says, those habits are bold. They're stronger than we are. And I tell people, I say, look, you can be bold. You can be stronger than they are. I say, no, we can't. I've tried it, brother, and it doesn't work. I'm going to share with you where you're wrong. Bold means showing a readiness to take risks or to face danger. Now, some people say, I just can't do that. And I say, well, now, wait a minute. As far as I know, those cigarettes you smoke have been proven to be cancer-causing. So every time you light one up, you show a readiness to take risks and face danger. What you're hoping for is that somehow it'll miss you. But you're ready to take that risk. And then when I say to you, won't you take a risk in going into the land of... Oh, no, I can't do that. You do it every day. And you take a bigger risk every day. You know that alcohol causes cirrhosis. You know that it kills brain cells. Maybe you don't know that too well anymore, but I rest my case. But you see, that wrong side of you is bold, isn't it? It shows a readiness to take risks and to face danger. And why is it so bold? It's your bod. It doesn't care. Bold also means prominent and clear, sharp, forceful in expression. Now, I know people say, well, Reuben, I just don't think I'm telling the truth when I say I can do all things through Christ, because I really haven't. Well, they're forceful in expression with their excuses, though. You see, what God is really saying is, you are proving to me and to yourself that you have the ability to say these things, but you say them on behalf of the enemy instead of on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said you can do all things. So you see, the issue is not whether you can say it or not. You're lying when you say you can't say that. You're lying when you say that you don't have the faith to take the chance, because you have the faith. You take a chance every day that somehow you're not going to OD. You're going to be the individual that doesn't get emphysema. You're going to be the one in 10,000 that doesn't get the cancer. You're going to be that one individual who can eat pizza till they're coming out of your ears, and you're not going to have a heart attack. Everybody else is going to get one. Everybody else is going to have asthma. Everybody else, but not you. We show more than a readiness to take the risk and to face the danger. You've been told time and time again, your temper's going to kill you. Remember last week we learned that anger comes from the word angina. And angina means chest pains from a heart attack. Your anger is going to kill you, brother. And you show a readiness to take that risk and face the danger of death. But you will not show the same thing to just speak the word of God. But you will rant and rave. Amazing individuals. Stronger also means impudent. Impudent means not modest and shamelessly bold and insolent. You don't care who knows it. You'll scream to the top of your voice. You don't care. So see, God says, if you can speak that way on behalf of the enemy and all those wrong things, how can you expect me to believe that you can't speak the same way on behalf of the truth? And God says, look, you don't even have to speak it. I understand. Just come to church, and I'll have someone speak for you. Moses, I'll have a man speak for you, and all you have to do is see if you can handle this. Amen. He said, and if you just do that, I'll even have somebody do the talking for you. But no, 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 no. No, you don't want to be impudent. You don't want to do that, but you do it every day on behalf of your own enemy. Stronger also means constant. And constant means not changing and remaining the same. Remaining firm in purpose and remaining steady in loyalties. Not changing, not being variable, stable, persistent and continual. And some people say, but I can't do that. Man, these habits, I just can't stop doing it consistently. Well, why? Then I ask them, how long you've been smoking? 58 years. That seems pretty consistent to me. How many do you smoke now? 48 packs a day? How many were you smoking when you first started? Oh, about 10 cigarettes. You're getting better. Man, you're constant, aren't you? Well, brother, I've tried to lose weight and I've tried to change my eating habits. Really? You don't have any problem being firm and unchanging in your habits. Some of you in this room have been fighting the same thing for years. I'll tell you one thing. You're consistent about your wrong, aren't you? You'll remain the same. You'll remain firm in purpose. And why? What does constant mean? Remaining steady in loyalties. You're loyal to that stuff. Now God says, look, if you can be loyal to what's killing you, all I want you to understand that it's just as easy and easier to be loyal to what will give you life. So the issue is not whether you can do it. The issue is, can you do it right? Because you certainly know how to do it wrong. You see how simple God is? Look, God says, look, I don't even need for you to change. You've already practiced how to do it, comma, wrong. So you know how to do it, comma, wrong. So all we have to do is show you how to do it, which you already know, comma, right. And that's where the whole thing breaks down. You want to go back to square one. You already know how to be constant, firm in your loyalties. Constant also means remaining free from variation or change, stable, persistent. Some of you will go home and try to think of ways to vent your anger. You'll think of ways to get around and continue that habit going. You're constant about it. And all the Lord has asked you to be is constant about His word. And you say you cannot. Stronger also means, I'm sharing with you now, we're talking about the other side of your personality. You see, because if it were true that the reason these men and these women and these children did not go into the land of rest because someone out there was keeping them from going in, then God did them a disservice. If they really wanted to go and couldn't, it would have been God not being able to make the way. So he's really saying, no, the problem here is you. Nobody can stop you from going into rest but you. If it were not that way, then God could not judge me for not going into rest. He says, the reason is you're obstinate. That other side of you is obstinate. Yes, it is stronger than you. Why? Because you give it the obstinance. Abstinent means unreasonably determined to have one's own way. Not yielding to reason or to plead. You see, what that's really saying is, you already know how not. See, people say, well, I can't help it. It's strong. It draws me. And I say, wait a minute. This preacher has been, and Moses had been talking to them. I've been talking to some of you for as long as 3 years, some of you longer. And you have shown a real obstinance. You are unwilling to yield to that reason or that plea. You have said no, no, no. And then you turn around and a bad habit comes and you say, oh, I can't say no. Take it from this preacher. I know you know how to say no. You've been doing it for a long, and longer than what you've been at this church. You didn't learn those habits when you came here. You brought them with you. Now, it's unreasonable for us to logically assume that God is so unintelligent that he's watched you all of your life say no to the right and then have you want him to believe that you cannot say no to the wrong. You've been doing it for a long time. I've heard you with my own ears. You've heard you with your own ears. It's an evil report. You're speaking against the right, and you're using lies on top of that. Obstinate also means not easily subdued. In other words, you're strong in your wrong. You're not easily subdued. The right has not been able to break through. But you want me to believe that as strong and stubborn and not easily subdued as you are, a pack of cigarettes can get you just like that. Someone can come and just give you a dirty look and you flip out and get angry and start foaming at the mouth. I don't believe that because you're not easily subdued by the truth. You've been fighting me tooth and nail from day one. And then you want me to believe that you go off just like that and you have absolutely no control over the wrong. You're a liar, man. It's just that simple. You're lying. But the important thing is you're lying to yourself. The next definition of the word stronger is to withstand. Now, I know that we don't have to plan longer than today to do right. But if you stop to think about it, withstand means to resist or endure in a successful way for a long time. Now, how long have you been pleaded with by God through preaching, through your own conscience, to give up? And you have successfully resisted and endured for a long time. So I know you can resist successfully for a long time. And God says, all I've asked you to do is one day. Now, if you can resist the Surgeon General and the preacher and all the information that you know is right, if you can resist that successfully for a long time, you want God to believe that you cannot resist that same habit for one day? See, God says, look, you're lying. It's that other side of you telling you something. See, here's the thing about it. One side of you is saying, we have the ability to be obstinate and stubborn and keep you from doing right indefinitely. And the other side says, oh, we can't stop even for 5 minutes. But it's the same person. Just how dense can we as human beings be? If you can be that persistent about the wrong, doesn't it follow logically that we can be that persistent about the right? And I would assume there's a whole lot more motivation to go right than there is wrong. So not only do you have the ability to be persistent, but I would think you would have the motivation as well. You can withstand. You have opposed the Word of God. Some of you, beginning with me, are still dealing with some basic habits we haven't made one bit of headway with yet. Why? Because you are successfully withstanding. You're opposing and resisting and enduring for a long time in a successful way. And I don't say that to make you feel proud. All I'm saying is if you can be that good about being bad, don't you suppose you could be that good about being good? And God only asked you to do it for one day. Stronger also means this is the way you, listen, you need to know how to be stronger. You know what the last definition or the second to the last definition of stronger is? To encourage self. It means to give courage or hope or confidence to oneself, to embolden self, to give support to self, to be favorable to self, to help self. Now, boy, we've got some real experts in that area in this room. You see, God says, look, if you can give yourself courage, hope, confidence, and support yourself in your wrong, to be favorable to your wrong, and listen to yourself some of the time, the excuses that you make for your wrong. He says, you're encouraging self to do wrong. You are bringing an evil report, and that evil report gives you courage, and you encourage yourself to continue to do wrong. So see, you can never blame anybody else again. God says, look, you are stronger. That side of you is stronger because you are encouraging self. You are finding ways to support your own wrong. Now, before you can do it financially, and listen, how many of you have a habit that your manna falls from heaven? No, we all got to go pay for it, don't we? So you see, if you can support buying it, well, then you have to support it mentally, wanting it to begin with. Nobody gave it to you. Now, God says, look, if you can embolden yourself and encourage yourself to do wrong, and I'm sending you a preacher who encourages you to encourage you to do right, and all you have to do is say amen and agree, then it's a whole lot easier to do right than it is wrong, isn't it? But the evil report will not allow that because you use your strength against yourself. The last definition of the word seize comes from a word that I like. This is Hebrew, but in the Greek it comes from it's kind of a close word. It means the same, lambano. That means to grab a hold of. God says, look, you ain't got nothing you ain't grabbed a hold of. If you think about it, what habit, what do you have on your person in, that you didn't grab a hold of? You had to take and make a decision and grab it, take a hold of it. That's what strength means. It means to seize. So see, whatever you have a hold of, it's because you took it. And it also means to take it forcibly and quickly. So see, what God is really saying here, the reason you have this evil report is because this thing that you say is too strong for you to go into rest, you took a hold of it, you grabbed it forcibly, you took it quickly, you took it favorably, you spoke for it, you resisted everything against it, you remain constant, you do it every day, you're not shameful about it, you make excuses, but you're not shameful about it, and you're willing to take the risks that are involved in doing your habit. And God says, look, as long as you understand that, then you have the liberty in Christ to do whatever you want. It is just our desire that you not do it ignorantly. Now some would say, boy, I'm glad that's over. I'm only hurting myself. I'm just going to kill myself. Oh, no, 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 no. There was only 12 that went out. Only 10 came back with an evil report. And because of those 10, millions died. You are a Christian. You're a child of God. And there are people that are looking to get out of things they can't get out of, and they see you doing your thing, whatever it is, and you're a Christian. And what are they going to do? They're going to make an evil report. They're going to be brought down by you. This wouldn't have been so bad if only the 10 would have died, but there were literally millions of people died because of this evil report. You and I both know we're all witnesses of the Word of God. And if you go out and mention Jesus' name just one time, you have no idea. Somebody might hear it, become a preacher. Thousands, tens of thousands of people could get saved just because you witnessed to one person. But what happens when you, as a child of God, go and give an evil report and show something that's clearly wrong? Now, maybe you won't die of it. Maybe you're the one in 10,000 that won't. But look at all the ones that will. One day you're going to get to heaven, you're going to say, I was a part of that. Listen, if you got to do it, dig a hole in your backyard, cover yourself up, do it, and then come out looking good at least. Don't bring this evil report back to the people. Now, if these men would have made that evil report just to one another and affected only themselves, we wouldn't have it in the Bible and I wouldn't be preaching it now. But they came back and told everyone. And it affected a lot of people. Evil reports affect a lot of people. Now, let me tell you just how important this is and how you go about doing it, especially if you have little children in your house. You don't know what that child's going to do with their lives. Right now, if my grandfather and my mother could see me, we probably would have to have the paramedics out there watching. This is Reuben? You know, I don't even remember. They must have said something somewhere in my past that put a spark in me that wanted to know the truth. And I had a love for the Lord. I thought he was on the cross dead. And the only way we could get close to him is put quarters and then light candles and warm his feet, evidently. I don't know. But there was a spark put in me. I don't remember what happened. But you see, nobody just starts on their own. Somebody said something. I heard something sometime, and they planted just a little spark in me. And because of that, my whole life changed, and I became a preacher eventually, and have affected some lives, praise God. Now, I didn't say I affected them all well. But I also remember something else. I remember some things that I heard people that I respected say as a child. And as I grew up, I went out and did all those things to check it out. It affected me. I watched some of the things they did, and it affected me. I watched the way my grandfather and my father, how he didn't relate to us, and it affected me. And even though he didn't say, I saw what he did and I saw what he didn't do. And for years I was exactly his clone image until I was saved and learned some truth here. It was an evil report and it affected my life for a lot of years. And I don't know how many people I affected with that. I've traveled this country from one end to the other in different jobs that I've had. And I know that I've had an effect on some people negatively. I passed it on. See, this evil report business is not something you're just hurting yourself. Brother, you got to understand there's a lot of people watching you. Especially if you make the mistake of out of one side of your mouth you're talking Christianity and out of the other side you're making an evil report. Now, I don't care what you do with your life. I just wish you wouldn't go out and blab it. But these men, they brought up an evil report. Now, this evil report, I want you to understand something as a child of God, just how important this is. The word evil report comes from a Hebrew word that means to slander. And when you find out who you're slandering when you make this evil report, I don't think you're going to be as open to doing it in the future. But evil report also means furtive action. It means to move slowly and to be sluggish. In other words, the evil report isn't just what you say. It means furtive action. Furtive action means, or furtive motion means, done or acting in a stealthy manner as if to hinder observation. Sneaky and hidden. I don't have to say a whole lot more about that. The real important thing is evil report, slander means to be sluggish, slow moving. Now here's a part of the evil report you probably never saw. It means taking a longer time than is expected or is necessary to get something done. So you see, the longer you take with your habit, the longer you take with the excuses, you're slow moving. That's an evil report. See, you thought just because you said the right, I love Jesus loves me, this I know. I love that song. But you see, the evil report is not just what you say, it's what you do. Slow-moving or evil report means making little progress considering the time spent. Do you understand that's an evil report? Do you understand that it's an evil report for you to take longer to get something done than you had ought to? And people are watching you, and you're going to have some people weep over that. And they're going to decide, we're better off back in Egypt. Look what Christianity does. Look at brother such and such and sister such and such. They still can't get the job done. That's an evil report. It also means holding back the progress or the development of oneself or someone else. That's an evil report. You see, whenever you make an excuse for what you're doing, you're holding up somebody else's progress. I would rather, and I would suggest to you, if you got to do it, say, look, this is as wrong as it could be. I'm killing myself, and Jesus Christ has nothing to do with this. This is my decision to make. It's not under grace, and I'm going to pay the penalty for this. The emphysema, whatever it is going to kill me. And at least that way you don't hinder another brother. Or like I said before, go do it in the corner somewhere. Don't come back to the whole congregation with the evil report. And you can tell people who make evil reports, people that are not making progress, because it means to be sluggish. Sluggish means lacking energy, lacking alertness, and lacking vigor. Slow moving. In other words, if you are procrastinating in something spiritual, it's going to show up in the physical. You're going to have a hard time getting up in the morning. You're going to become one of the dwarfs, sleepy. Can't make it, I don't know what's, I know what's wrong. You're making an evil report. You're making excuses. You're taking too long to do something. That's an evil report. It's a slander. Now understand this, you're not slandering me, and you're not even slandering yourself. Let me tell you what slander means. Slander means the utterance of false statements in the presence of another person which are damaging to a third person's character or reputation. Now, what am I saying there? Whose character and whose reputation are you slandering when you bring an evil report, either verbally or physically, because you are slow moving and are taking more time than you ought to? Only took 3.5 weeks, in theory, to get from one place to the other. Well, I'm going to tell you who. When you make an evil report, it goes something like this. I hear them all the time. I don't know if God will bless me in this problem, Brother Reuben. I just don't know. I've tried everything, and I just don't know if he's going to bless me. But the word says, for the Lord thy God blesses thee as he hath promised thee, in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, whose word are you slandering? Whose reputation are you slandering? You said you don't know if he will, and he says he will bless you as he has promised you. Now, if you go out and say you're not sure that his promise is good, you are slandering the reputation of Christ, God Almighty himself. You'd be better off not to say anything. I just don't have any control over that, Brother. With my kids, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't control the food or the alcohol or the temper or the drugs or whatever it is. I just can't seem to do it. I don't have any control. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. You've heard that more than once. So every time you give me your I can't control it routine, you are slandering the word of God. You are damaging the reputation of a third person that's totally innocent there. He said you could, and you keep saying you can't. There's some slander going on. I'm not a lawyer, but if I were, I'd own your house, your car, and everything else you have. I'd sue you in a minute. You slandered my name that way. Oh, Brother Reuben, nobody loves me. I have enemies. I mean, just people, just everybody hates me. I got them too. But see, I know something. That's the evil report. Let me tell you the good report. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, the next time you say such and such and this one and that one, and I'm mad because she said this and he did that, and they're not being very nice to me, you are slandering the name of God, because he said, no man will be able to stand before thee. Nobody. He said, the same way I was with Moses, and he's talking to Joshua, he says, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. Yeah, but those were Amalekites and giants. He doesn't understand how Marlboro works. Or Kurz. He doesn't understand. This is Kurz. So I like the way they said, I'll get Kurz. They don't understand. The night belongs to Michelob. They can have it. So you've got to understand here, you are totally equipped to do everything that you need to do, and when you say you can't or you don't, you're bringing an evil report. You might as well understand that. And then some will say, I just can't do it. And I say, you just can't do it right. You do it wrong all the time. Well, you're slandering right there, because the word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to read a few scripture verses to you, and then I'm going to quit. I'm going to give you an idea what you're fighting and the evil report that you're making. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then I'm going to quit. I've already accepted this. I like it. Show you how easy it is to get out of this evil report mentality. Deuteronomy 28:1. Really, very simple. The word says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now look, all you have to do, hearken. That means listen intelligently, listen obediently, and listen with obedience. It doesn't say anything about obeying. He just says, listen, hearken to what? The voice of the Lord. Now, this is important. Do you all know what a voice is? Now, I know that this is the Word of God. But do you know the difference between the Word of God and the voice of God? Do you even know what a voice is? Now, we all have the Word of God in our laps. Let us listen for His voice. The word voice means striking with force. Voice means to call aloud, to say something aloud. And it means to strike with force on the organs of hearing. Now, when you read your Bible, what organs are you striking with force? Don't you know the difference between eyes and ears? In other words, God says, you have got to hear the Word of God. You have got to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, he didn't say you have to obey the Lord. He says, hearken diligently. Obey the voice. He says, you just got to hearken diligently. And then he says something interesting is going to happen to you. Just listen. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Anywhere there does it say obey. You will obey if you hearken. That's a given. You will. But you'll never obey if you don't hearken. So it says, look, if you just listen attentively and intelligently, blessings are going to overtake you. You're going to get run over by blessings. And I like that, because I sit on my perch like a good vulture, seeing the land, and I just let blessings run over me. They have to catch up with me. You know what overtake means? It means to reach for you. The blessings have to come to you. Overtake means to take hold of and to get. Overtake means to catch up with and even go beyond, to come upon suddenly and unexpectedly. In other words, God says, if you just seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. They'll just come and get you. And you don't have to do anything but listen to the voice of the Lord. Now, look what's going to happen in verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. In other words, you're going to be blessed, I don't care where you live. But he's not through there. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. I like that. You know, I can go to food basket. And everything has got to go my way. I don't care what it is. That's what the man said. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest into food basket, and blessed shall thou be when thou comest out of food basket, or wherever you're going. In other words, this says you're blessed coming and going. And all you had to do was listen to the voice of the Lord. You don't have to do anything. Spit out a little amen now and then. Oh, that's so hard to do, Brother Reuben. Man, we need spiritual strength. I get to do all the work. All you get to do is enjoy it. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. A little side trip here. We all got enemies. But look, it says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you. See, y'all are too worried. Don't worry about the enemy. Let him rise up against you. Why? Because then the Lord says, I'm going to slap his face. Isn't that what the man said?
That's what he said.
And then he said, not only that, but they're going to come at you one way. And when I get through with them, you're going to have six doors in that house. The one they came in through and the other six they made in their effort and anxiety to get away from you. Oh, Brother Reuben, but they just attacked me in this one way. That's good, because they're going to run seven ways. I don't worry about that. All I have to do is listen to the word. I don't have to fight you or anybody else. The Lord will slap your face for me anytime you need it. And if you want your home remodeled, you don't have enough doors, you'll get some of those too. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee. Now look, you're fighting and kicking and screaming and jealous of one another because she has and you don't, and she got and she's keeping and she did. And I'm saying, blessings, the Lord commanded you, I'm waiting, come. I just open my pockets and just everywhere. Everywhere. Didn't the man say he commanded the blessings to come upon me? What did he say? You had to go beg for him and ask for him and go tell him how unhappy you are because somebody else had the blessings. God's doing the commanding. And he says, look, I'm going to command the blessings upon you and in thy storehouse. In other words, he says, I'm going to command more blessings than you can put in your pocket and in your hands. You're going to have to build a barn to keep them. I do. I have a two-bedroom barn to keep all my stuff. Then I got a one-bedroom outside on wheels, as one of my friends calls a little house on the prairie, to keep the rest of them. And he says, and also I'm going to command all the blessings on everything that thou settest thy hand unto. In other words, he said, you don't have to do anything. He says, Reuben, look, put your hand on it. Start it. And I'll command the blessings to come. I sit in front of this book and I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm starting. You said, lay my hands on it, and there they are. Now I have done. See how easy this is? Oh, but Brother Reuben, you study, you know so much. I'll give you a little secret now, my tremendous intelligence. I go and I say, okay, Lord, I've done my part. Go out to, I did this, my wife knows this. First time I looked for a van, I went out there and I, this is the one I want. Didn't the man say to set my hand to it? I put my hand on it, there she is. And that's the one we got. Later on, I saw one was bigger. I said, this is a two-hander here. So I put my hands on it. There it is, right out there.
All right.
See, y'all are fighting too hard. You're fighting yourself is what you're doing. He says, I've commanded the blessings to come unto thee in thy storehouses and everything that you set your hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now the only land the Lord thy God giveth thee is the land of rest. You're emotional, you're upset, you're angry, you're critical, you're judgmental, you're depressed, you're everything but rest. And you're everywhere but where God gave you. Some will say, well, Reuben, how do you get all those things? I'm praying just as hard as you do. I've got 3 Bibles at home. And I listen to tapes all the way to work. And all. I said, look, wait a minute. Get into rest. No emotion, no anger, no criticism, no judgment, just peace. That's where the blessings come. See, you know what the problem is? God's mailing all your blessings. His command says, go to rest. And then when rest gets in, they go back and it says, Lord says, what are you doing? Well, she wasn't there. He wasn't there.